Good morning and live from the Ron Scott Communications Center. This is From the Stand. Today we're going to celebrate aviation history with a quick trip to the WASP Museum in Sweetwater, Texas. Look at some of the things happening in and around Oshkosh, not just on the field here, some of the other activities this week and throughout the year. And we'll also bring back John Slemp, who has a wonderful book about World War II bomber jackets and some great photography, and he's doing a forum later this week. So we want to let you in on that news as well. But first, we want to welcome Angela Decker and Mo Aguirre from the DC3 Society. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us, Steve.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So we were talking before. We've got, we believe, 11 DC-3/C-47s on the field so far. Have you been coordinating with all those aircraft coming in, or some of them?
With most of them, yes. We try to put that effort to coordinating and helping EAA when it comes down to having the aircraft here. But obviously, I always that one that comes in and sneaks out on his own, but for the most part, we've been working with the AA for sure.
Okay. Tell us about the genesis of the DC-3 Society.
Sure. Well, the DC-3 Society was founded to really unite all the operators, pilots, enthusiasts from all over the world who loved the DC-3 and operated DC-3. It was started as a consequence of the success that we had in 2019 with the D-Day Squadron, when we organized a flight of 15 aircraft to Normandy to celebrate the 75th anniversary of D-Day, and we realized that we had something important here, something big, and the operators really expressed the interest to having a coordinating body. So obviously, 2020, the world shut down because we know what, and we had to took a little time for us to organize the D-Day Squadron now as a standalone 501c3 nonprofit, but definitely the genesis comes from the effort that we put in 2019 as part of the D-Day Squadron.
Good. And also involved in the 80th anniversary.
Correct. 2024 as well. Yes, we went back with less airplanes, but, you know, same big effort.
So are you going back for 85?
We've even started talking about it. So I think if we can, we sure we'll give it a try again.
Good. The DC-3 C-47, obviously one of the most famous aircraft.
There must be an air show around here.
Of course, we're going to talk about the DC-3, and the Ford Trimotor has to step in here and remind us that that was the first commercial airliner. But DC-3 has been flying for over 90 years, and it really was the airplane that helped put commercial aviation, especially airline aviation, on the map. So how did the DC-3 change aviation as we know it?
Well, I think I will say it, and we had CAF World War II a couple of weeks ago, and you and I agree that it's the greatest airplane that was ever built, and really is. And the testament is 90 years later is still flying, not only with museums, with the commercial operators. Right. So that right there tells you what a great airplane it is. It really was the aircraft that made airlines profitable. So that, obviously, without money, there is not flying, and the airlines like that. We can fly passengers now and have a profit. So that was really the big input that pushed the DC-3. Then obviously with World War II, the DC-3 became C-47 and really was one of the main tools that allowed the Allies to win the war in World War II. And they came back, and guess what? They were put to work again as airliners or cargo operators. So and again, we are in 2026. There are at least three operators in North America that are flying DC-3s for commercial operation, hauling cargoes from Alaska and from Florida to the Bahamas. So it tells you right there that why it's a great airplane.
And Buffalo Airways still operates DC-3s?
Yeah, I think
they
operates one. They also operate DC-6s. So it's and C-46, believe it or not, in Alaska, in Canada. Sorry. So the biggest operator here, I think, in the U.S., it's Florida Air Cargo. They have three DC-3s. Fly from Fort Lauderdale down to the Bahamas every day, twice a day, hauling cargo. And two of those aircraft are D-Day veterans, and they're still working for a living, which is amazing.
And, of course, across the field here, we have Basler, and they convert the DC-3s into the turbo
conversions. Angela did a tour yesterday of Basler.
Oh, really? So tell us a little bit about what you saw yesterday at Basler's.
So I had the opportunity to go over to Basler yesterday and just kind of see their full operation. Derek James, who's the president of Basler, took me around and really just showed me how they utilize the DC-3 C-47 airframe to utilize it for the future and for areas where you can't take just a regular DC-3.
Right.
Doing the modifications that they do, and using the turboprop engines allows them to go into Arctic places. It allows them to fly additional flight times for utilizing it for, you know, up to 12 to 14 hour flights. Those are things that you can't do on the regular, but they're utilizing those airframes that are unused, unwanted, to continue basically the DC-3 history into a future generation. And so it's just a really a continuation of that. And they really love the DC-3 over there as well, and love the history of it, and love that they have a connection that moves it forward to the future.
Absolutely. With the DC-3 Society, you have, as Mo mentioned, you're a 501c3, so you can take donations to help support your efforts, but you're also a membership organization. How does that work?
So you can be a member in various different ways. We have several different membership opportunities, all the way from aircraft owner operator to just maybe a student. We have a student version, and we have just a regular DC-3 fan, essentially, okay. Membership, a supporter. So we have people all over the world who love the DC-3 and the military variants. It's really just a variant that unites people globally. It has a great love overseas, especially. And so we see a lot of people who want to support that effort and who want to be part of the community. And you can be part of that community with us as just a general person who loves that aircraft. So you can always visit our website, dc3society.org, and you can check out what opportunities we have. So anybody can be part of this. And we do have members here from all overseas, actually, for this event. So
good. And you're here not only coordinating with some of the operators, but you're also getting ready for a pretty substantial event, fly-in event, that's just coming up in December in FlyBob, yep. California.
Yep. December the 4th, the 5th, and the 6th will be at FlyBob, California, to host the first DC-3 operators and showcase, operators conference and showcase. FlyBob is right here, in fact, and we visited FlyBob a couple of weeks ago. We did a survey, site survey, and it's the greatest place to have a conference. So we are aiming to have a workshop type of setup for Saturday and Friday, sorry, and then Saturday will be more like a showcase where public is invited to just admire these airplanes. And FlyBob has three airplanes based there, right. So which is great, plus one on static display. So we will be fine as far as having airplanes there. But I know there are quite a few airplanes in Southern California, so we'll expect probably between 8 and 9 aircraft for the event. So we're very excited about it.
Good. And this, your format is very similar to Oshkosh, I mean, in smaller vein, but you're talking about taking time to do forums and presentations on actual operations and then opening everything up to the public.
Correct.
And will there be flying as well?
Only if the operators want to. There, okay. Won't be any rides operations.
Right.
But it's really designed for operators, because the kind of that's the mission of our organizations. But
right.
Obviously, when you have DC-3s in towns, you cannot open the floor to the public. So we're trying to mix both models, if you will. But definitely will be one full day of workshops, open table discussions on how to operate these aircraft safely. Exchange ideas, exchange, pilots. Every pilot is the best pilots in the world, so everyone will tell everyone else how good they fly their DC-3.
Absolutely. With the conference being at FlyBob, a very historic airport in itself, but are there some challenges? You mentioned operations, maintenance, or parts challenges that face the DC-3 operators?
Yeah, I will say like any other vintage aircraft, but the DC-3, so there are about 185 aircraft still registered with the FAA, so there definitely parts are out there. We have Prefer Air Parts, one of the partners of the society, which has still a lot of parts. And then as often happens in vintage aviation, you open that warehouse or hangar that has been closed for several years, and you find a bunch of parts. So
yeah.
I think it's a common problem in vintage aviation, but the fact that the aircraft are still flying in the U.S. and all over the world, I think we should be fine to keep these airplanes flying for another, hopefully, 90 years.
Sounds good. Before we wrap up this morning, Angela, what's the website again that people find out more, become a member, or get information about the fly-in?
DC3society.org, and you can also follow us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, all those places. So definitely come and follow us.
All right. If you're a fan of the DC3, the DC3 Society is for you. And look for probably some great photos coming out of their event in December in Vintage...
Vintage Aviation News.
Vintage Aviation News. Mo is a contributor to that, and so is Angela as well. It's a great one to sign up for that newsletter as well. You're listening to From the Stand on EIA Radio.